farmer John lived on a quiet rural highway. But as time went by, the traffic slowly built up to an alarming rate. The traffic was so heavy, in fact, and so fast that his chickens were being run over at a rate of 3 to 6 per day. So one day, Farmer John called the sheriff's office and said, "You got to do something about all these people driving so fast and killing all of my chickens." Sheriff asked him, "Well, what do you want me to do?" Farmer John says, "I don't care. Just do something about those crazy drivers." So the next day, the sheriff sent out the county workers. They went out and erected a sign that said, "Slow school crossing." Well, that didn't help, because 3 days later, Farmer John called the sheriff and he said, "You got to do something about these drivers. The school crossing signs to me, it seems to make them go even faster." So again, the sheriff sends out the county workers and they put up a new sign that says, "Slow, children at play." Well, that really sped them up. So Farmer John called and called and called every day for 3 weeks. Finally, he asked the sheriff, "Listen, your signs are doing no good. Can I put up my own sign?" The sheriff told him, "Sure thing, put up your own sign, John." He was going to let Farmer John do just about anything in order to get him to stop calling every day to complain. Well, the sheriff got no more calls from Farmer John. 3 weeks later, curiosity got the best of the sheriff, and he decided to give Farmer John a call. "How's the problem with those drivers? Did you put your sign up?" Farmer John says, "Oh, I sure did, and not one chicken has been killed since then. Hey, I got to go. I'm very busy." So he hung up the phone. The sheriff was really curious now, and he thought to himself, "I better go out there and take a look at that sign. Might be something that we could use to slow down drivers in town." So the sheriff drove out to Farmer John's house, and his jaw dropped the moment that he saw the sign. Spray painted on a piece of wood said this: "Nudist colony, go slow and watch out for the chicks." Now, you got to give Farmer John credit. So that sign language was effective. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible defines a sign as something that points to or represents something or larger or more important than itself. A sign, secularly speaking, is defined by Merriam-Webster as a notice publicly displayed for advertising purposes or for giving direction and warning. If the word language is defined as a system of signs and symbols that are used to carry information, well, then we can see that sign language might actually be more than the means of communicating to the hearing impaired. In essence, the very lives that we lead, how we act, how we react, how we interact, might just represent someone or something larger or more important than ourselves. Our lives are like a set of signs that communicate our qualities, values, and beliefs to people of our culture. With that said, we are prompted to ask ourselves these questions. What is the image that I cast? How do people read and see me? Do I represent someone larger than myself? And do I reflect that someone, direct others to that someone, while protecting others from the evil one? What is my sign language? Now, I'm going to share a story. I've shared this before, and I don't want you to think because I'm getting older, I'm repeating stories. That's not the case. Sometimes that happens. Today, that's not the case. I am sharing this story because it applies. So when I was a little boy, my parents, and I'll admit, my parents loved Steak and Shake. We used to go to Steak and Shake a lot, and my brother and I never complained. I mean, there was good food. And so one particular day, we went to Steak and Shake. I'll never forget. I can remember where I was sitting. I can remember what I was eating and what I was drinking. I also remember what I was doing, because in this particular day, I was probably 8, 9 years old. I was staring at a sign up at the entrance at Steak and Shake. Couldn't get my eyes off of it because I couldn't figure out what the sign meant. And I kept staring and staring, and finally my mom and dad said, "Chad, what are you looking at?" And I said, "It's the sign." Now I know I probably didn't use the correct terminology here, but I said to my parents, and I remember saying this, I said, "Why in the world do they have an Indian sign?" Should have been Native American. "Why do they have an Indian sign at the entrance of a Steak and Shake? It doesn't make sense to me." And they both started laughing. They said, "That's not an Indian sign." I said, "Well, sure it is. Tacahoma Sack. It was like some kind of tribe." And they said, No, that's take home a sack. And I said, "Oh, Okay. And now I get it. I get the Steak and Shake wanted you to take home a sack. It's just a little confusing and misleading that they would use Native American language to accomplish that purpose. So here's why I tie this story in, because sadly, we have the ability, I believe, to give off confusing and misleading signs in our Christian lives. And I think a lot of people are guilty of it. So in essence, a lot of people will look at us and they will say, "Do you follow Christ?" And we'll say, "Well, sure I do." And they say, "You're a little confusing. You're a little misleading. I can't follow you because I don't understand your sign." How do people read us? How do they see us? Do we sport a Christian sign that sends confusing language? Or is the language of the life we lead consistent with the sign that we display not only in our secular world, but in our own little world? You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:12, he says, "Be careful how you behave among your unsaved neighbors. For then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, they will end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns." Now, we tend to think of sign language as only being applicable to the hearing impaired. But it's quite clear, according to Peter's words, that our sign language, how we act and how we react and how we interact, is going to impact the believing impaired. You see, folks, we are just signs in a very dark and lost society. And the believing impaired is looking for some kind of direction. They're trying to find some kind of way to find salvation, and quite honestly, we might be the only sign that they ever read to get them there. Theologian Louis Barbieri, in response to Peter's words, says this. He says, "The life of the believer should be such that even those opposed to the believer will be forced to admit that his life commands admiration and respect." Is our sign consistent with our language? Ken Kerr, who was Walt Disney's creative project director for the construction of the Epcot Center in Orlando, Florida, teaches that, quote, "up to 70% of people make buying decisions based primarily upon the visual," end quote. How are we seen? Those 70% of people that will make a determination on your salvation, those 70% are going to make a determination on your salvation, and my question is, what's their determination? How do they see us? Do we look like Jesus? Jesus condemned the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 25, and 26 as hypocrites because their attitudes weren't consistent with their actions. Paul called out Peter in Galatians 2, 11 through 19 for similar hypocritical words and actions. A question that we might ask ourselves today to avoid that kind of deserved condemnation is this: is my sign clear to read, and is my language clean to hear? Is my sign clear to read? Is my language clean to hear? Can people see Jesus when they see us? Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says, "Live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these." In Colossians 1, verse 10, while addressing the Christians in Colossae, Paul admits to praying and asking God to help those people to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Folks, if our lives are pleasing to the Lord, then they won't be misleading the world. If our lives are pleasing to the Lord, they won't be confusing to the world. Lastly, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 4, Paul encourages his church to live in a holy and pure ideal. Now, this holiness and purity in its perfection can only be found in Jesus. And when Jesus is living in us, John 14, 20, we reflect Jesus and subsequently direct others, the believing impaired, to Jesus. A footnote in the Living Bible states that, quote, "a cheerful spirit radiates or lights up the grace of God and gives luster to the beauty of holiness." Now that term "lights up" is incredibly important for our conversation today. Because let's face it, a sign that is steeped in darkness is pretty useless. We need light. So many months ago, years ago, I can't keep track of time anymore, our administrative board decided to put new church signs up. It was time. Ours were falling down, and they weren't looking as good as we needed them to look. So our administrative board said, let's put new signs up. Now, where we worship out here in Covell, Illinois, let's face it, if you're directing somebody that's not familiar with the territory out here, we need signs. One of the prerequisites for the signs was that they would be, here it comes, reflective. So when we went to the sign company and we ordered the signs, I went to them and I said, listen, they've got to be reflective. They said, we get it. I kept saying, we got to be reflective. We get the signs back. They put up the signs. And someone had noticed driving at night that those signs weren't reflective. You know how they noticed? Because they never, ever saw the signs. They drove right past the church and right past the road to get into the church. And so what happened was we called the sign company and said, folks, we love the signs, but they're not reflective. And so the sign company said, let's look. They said, yep, you're right. We didn't put the reflective adhesion or whatever on it. We'll come out, we'll redo them. The reason we bring this up, folks, is because I had talked to at least two people that said, Chad, I never saw your signs. No, that's a problem. Because in the darkness, it would be difficult to see those signs. Now, since they are reflective, you can see those signs. Folks, we sometimes tend to walk around in darkness. And oftentimes we say, I don't need Jesus' light, and I'm not going to shine Jesus' light. And a lot of people are confused and misled of who we choose to save or who we choose to serve because we've been saved, and that is Jesus Christ. But oftentimes our lives feel pretty useless because we're still walking around in darkness. We have got to be the light to direct people to Jesus Christ. We're those signs. The question is, are we willing to do something about it and admit that we and others need it? Signs need light. A sign steeped in darkness, difficult to see, difficult to read. Its usefulness is hindered by that darkness. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9 regarding this, he says, you've been chosen by God himself. You are priests of the king. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. The language on a sign is much easier to see when there is light. Jesus is that light. He said in John 8:12 and John 9:5, he says, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Well, I am still here in this world, Jesus says. I give it my light. If we are to be these easy to see, easy to read signs that reflect Jesus, direct the believing impaired to Jesus, and protect them from an eternity without Jesus, we will be the signs that cast that light. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in a perishable container that is in our weak bodies. If you say, I can do this without Jesus, I can tell you this, we're going to confuse a lot of people. We're going to mislead a lot of people. We have got to be signs to direct and lead and help the believing impaired. I'm going to look at our sermon text today. It comes from Matthew 5:14-16. Folks, here's my preface. As I preface this, I'm going to tell you this. I've got like my top 10 everything. Top 10 songs, top 10 movies, top 10 TV shows. Here's my top 10 scripture passages. This makes my top 10. I love this passage. If you want to write in your Bible, Chad's top 10, feel free to do it. I love it. And I can't wait to read this to you. I use this a lot. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew 5:14-16. He says, you are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see so that they will praise your heavenly Father. So I'm going to share this quick story. We had some, over our vacation, we had some Comcast issues. I know what you're thinking. You're going to have to take a deep breath when I say that because a lot of people get mad when we talk about Comcast. We were at Sam's Club Friday night. We got accosted by the DirecTV people. They said, hey, sir, can I talk to you? Hey, sir. They always do it every time. And I said, I got to be honest with you. I know you're not going to believe this. I really like Comcast. They said, now we've heard it all now. I said, no, I'm serious. I really do. They're okay. They don't give me too many problems. And they said, we've never heard that before. I said, I know. I'm a weird one. So my point is we had some Comcast issues. And so I called. We went and we got new cable boxes. And so brought the cable boxes back and we plugged them in. Cam could not get the thing turned on. Wouldn't work. I could see my wife getting frustrated. Yes, she can get frustrated. And she was getting angrier and angrier. And so I called Comcast, and I I know that in the past, in my earlier life, I know how that conversation would have gone. But I had no desire to go there. As a matter of fact, I thought, these poor people, what they have to go through on a daily basis, I can't imagine. And so I treated her as if I was talking to Jesus himself. That lady said, this has been my favorite call of the year. She said, I don't want to hang up with you. And I said, well, I kind of like talking to you too because I feel like I can get everything taken care of when I'm talking to you with regards to my cable. She said, nobody talks to us like this. And I understand this. Because a lot of people today, they just live in darkness. And we've got to be that light. We've got to be that sign. You see, according to that sermon text, that passage we read in Scripture, William Barclay once said this. He says, when Jesus commanded his followers to be the lights of the world, he demanded nothing less than that they should be like himself, end quote. You see, the believing impaired must see the light of Jesus and the life of Jesus and the words of Jesus in us. We are the means to direct people to Jesus. Now, we're going to play a little geographical game here. You can answer if you want. You don't have to. You may get embarrassed if you're wrong. So here's what I'm going to tell you. When I was growing up, my mom and dad liked to travel. We traveled a lot, and they had a certain place. I think everybody has a place. My mom and dad's place was Lake of the Ozarks. We went down there a lot, spent a lot of time at Lake of the Ozarks. And I enjoyed it. It got a little old after like the 40th time. But I remember every year we would go down there, and there was a place. And my mom and dad would entice us with this place. And it was a fun place. My brother and I loved it. But I can tell you, if you ever go to Lake of the Ozarks or Branson, Missouri, or if you even go further south, you've seen this, because this place is known for their signs. Nobody has more signs going to this place on Route 55 to 44 than this place. It would be great, because my brother and I would see the sign and be like, yes, 89 miles to our destination. Yes, 88 miles to our destination. Yeah, because it feels like they put one up every single mile. If we were driving at night, they lit the signs up so we could see the signs. Now, this place really isn't that great, but the signs would make you believe that it really is that great. And they put up so many signs that you can't miss the place. Anybody want to take a guess at what it is? Merrimack Caverns. There it is. Yeah, we've carved our names in rock in that place. Merrimack Caverns. We used to get so excited about going to Merrimack Caverns. And my brother even mentioned it when we were out with him on New Year's Eve. He's like, I feel like we're at Bridal Cave right now. I was like, my goodness, we really have been enticed and influenced by Bridal Cave at Merrimack Caverns. The reason I bring this up, folks, is this. You can't miss Merrimack Caverns. They have made sure, even if you don't want to go to Merrimack Caverns, you're going to want to go to Merrimack Caverns because you can't miss the signs. We've got to be the same way. Every single place we go, every time we go out, when we leave this church and we enter our workplace, our home place, our school place, wherever that might be, we got to be those signs. In essence, every time people see us, they got to see Jesus. And every time they see us, they got to think about Jesus. And if they say, I don't even want to think about Jesus today, when they see us, they'll say, I thought about Jesus today. Because I saw the sign. I saw the sign. There it is. So that's what we want people to do. We're like Merrimack Caverns in that way. And we need people to see us as those signs to direct people to Jesus. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2:15, he tells us to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them, Paul says, like beacon lights. Folks, Christian lives are like a glowing sign that everyone can clearly read. The language of the sign is made clear and evident by the light that shines through it. This is the reason Jesus tells us to not hide our light. That light that reflects Jesus directs people to Jesus. He's the destination. Folks, people don't go to the Merrimack Cavern signs and stand by the signs and say, we made it. This is great. It's sign number 22. We made it. They don't do that. They just follow the signs to get to the destination. You see, people are going to follow you. They're going to watch you. They're going to read you to get to the destination. We're not the destination. We're just the signs that lead people to salvation. This is critical. Because a lot of people put so much emphasis on themselves, and they say, I've got to be the person to save you. No, Jesus will save you. We'll just direct you. We'll just shine the light of Jesus upon you. And we'll show you what Jesus can do. We're those people. We are those signs. It's what a good sign does. But sadly, a Christian sign is not always well lit and easily read. John addresses this issue in 1 John 2, 7 through 11. Here's what he says. Listen to these words. He says, "Dear brothers, I'm not writing out a new rule for you to obey. It's an old one you've always had right from the start. You've heard it all before. Yet it's always new, and it works for you just as it did for Christ. And as we obey this commandment to love one another, the darkness in our lives disappears, and the new light of life in Christ shines in. Anyone who says he is walking in the light of Christ but dislikes his fellow man is still in darkness. But whoever loves his fellow man is walking in the light and can see his way without stumbling around in darkness and sin. For he who dislikes his brother is wandering in spiritual darkness and doesn't know where he is going. For the darkness has made him blind so that he cannot see the way." We have a lot of blindness out there among us. You see, a well-lit, well-placed sign that is easy to read and easy to see reflects, directs, and ultimately protects the lost and the searching. But a sign that is shrouded in darkness can be confusing and misleading and ultimately damaging. Are our lives consistent with Jesus, the light who shines in and among our sign? Now, some businesses have come up with some pretty clever and memorable signs. Dan showed you quite a few of those up there. There are others. So I'm going to read to you today some of the signs that are floating out there. For you, I think some of them will be entertaining. For you, some of them might be a little bit confusing. But you got to hear them. So here they go. Number one, this was found on a plumber's truck. This sign says, "We repair what your husband fixed." That's pretty good. This was at a tire shop in Milwaukee. The sign says, "Invite us to your next blowout." Number three, this is my favorite. On a plastic surgeon's office door, the sign says, "Can we pick your nose?" Not bad. On a maternity room door, the sign says, "Push, push, push." At an optometrist's office, the sign says, "If you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place." Number six, in a podiatrist's office, I like this one. Sign says, "Time wounds all heals," H-E-E-L-S. And lastly, in a veterinarian's waiting room, every time they go on break, they put this sign up. It says, "Be back in 5 minutes. Sit. Stay." I don't know. These signs might soon be famous. So here we go. So Dan showed some of the signs that again, we kind of ran through these, some of the signs that are made famous. So I got to tell you this, as you're looking at these signs, the Sparks family, we do weird things. I mean, we do. And so one of the things that we did, this was an exercise for us. We said, we got to think of the most famous signs that we could ever think of. I think our girls were involved in this. This was during the holidays. It was hazy and crazy during that time. But Cam and I came up with what we thought would be some of the most famous signs that are out there. And as you can see, we're running through these. Here's the thing. A lot of you, if you think of these destinations, you would think, I think, of these signs. These signs, I had to put that up there because we're there every Friday, all right? So, and I had to put that up there because, well, I just had to. So, all right. So with that, I did not put that one up there. I did not. That was not ours. Oh, wait a second. That's from the song Signs. I love it. I want to sing it right now. Okay. So, and there's a reason. Dan, can you freeze that? Is that possible just to leave that one there? Okay, perfect. Okay. So when we were, and we had fun sending these to Dan, and I knew that Dan was going to throw an extra one in. I didn't think it would be that one. So here's the thing I want to share with you regarding these. When you think of these places, and we've been to a lot of those places, we think of the sign. It was really neat. We went to Beverly Hills, and so we were driving through Beverly Hills, and I saw the sign. Man, I'm going to sing that song every time I say it. And so we saw the sign, and we pulled over, and we stopped, and we had to stand by it. We're like, you know what? If we've made it to Beverly Hills, we got to stand by the sign. If you've been to Vegas, you've seen the sign. Those signs, they commemorate the destination. In essence, when you think of those places, you might think of those signs. It's interesting because in many ways, we have to be like those signs. And the question is, are we like those famous signs? Are we easily read? But here's even what's more important. Then are we easily remembered? You won't forget the Las Vegas sign, I'm pretty sure. You won't forget the Cheers sign, the Wrigley Field sign. You might forget the long-haired freaky people need not apply sign, but that's okay. But will we be remembered? And the question is, do we leave a message, the language, the image of Jesus? Are we that memorable? You see, when the believing impaired see us, and there's your picture, when they see us, do they think of this? Because let's face it, folks, if we're going to call out the most famous symbol and sign that's ever been displayed in the world, that would be it. Now, you don't have to be in Effingham, Illinois. By the way, tallest cross in America is found in Effingham, Illinois, and that's it. We don't have to have a sign that big. We don't have to carry around a cross that big. We don't have to wear a cross that big. We just have to be the sign, and we have to be that big. In essence, when people see us, will they think of Jesus? Will they remember Jesus? Will they see the cross in us? This is a powerful sign, folks, of how much Jesus loves us. In Luke 9:23, Jesus tells us that anyone who wants to follow him must put aside his own desires and conveniences and carry his cross with him every day and stay close to him. Now, again, this is impossible to carry a cross like this, impossible to wear a cross that big, but it's not impossible to be a sign of our Savior and a Savior who died on the cross. And that would be very big. You see, that's our goal. Our lives, our impact has got to be big. Our sign, our light, has got to be big. And so when we meet people and we see people and we share with people, our lives have got to be memorable. We may not be famous, but Jesus is. And our impact has got to be big. Jesus, in Mark 4:21, asks his disciples, he says, when someone lights a lamp, does he put a box over it to shut out the light? Of course not. Jesus says the light couldn't be seen or used. A lamp is placed on a stand to shine and be useful. Sounds like the purpose of a sign. Sounds like the purpose for us. We must, at all times, display the cross. Doesn't have to be in a necklace. Just has to be in us. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Are we those signs? Everywhere we go, in everything we say, all that we do, are our lives steeped in darkness, which leads other people into darkness? Or are we an easily read, brightly lit sign that reflects Jesus and directs people to Jesus and protects them from an eternity without Jesus? How we live, how we love, how we give, how we serve, how we sacrifice, what we do because of what Jesus has done, is how we will be viewed and read and remembered. How brightly will our brightly lighted sign shine? And just like a powerful, memorable sign that directs people to a place or business, are we willing, through our deeds, our prayers, our sacrifice, in our love, are we willing to reflect and then direct other people to Jesus? It's what a good sign does. It's what God's Son has called all of us to do. We have a job, a task, if you will. We are to display the clearest and easiest to read sign language every single day. We are called to direct people to Jesus. We're going to sing a song that we have sung before. This is No Longer Slaves. Let's stand and close. All right, folks. Well, you know what? We're in the new year. This is a new start, a new beginning. And for us, I think it's something that we have to do. You know, there's a lot of people walking in darkness today. And I've seen it. The last 3 weeks, I've seen it. And so we have a role to play in this. And we have a goal to bring others to Christ. How are we going to do it? We can't do it if we're dark. We can't do it if we're shrouded in darkness. We're useless. So we've got to change our ways. And that means that we've got to shine brightly in that darkness. And that means, folks, wherever you go, whatever you do, put a smile on your face, be engaging to people, invite them to church, have a conversation with them, and let them know that you genuinely care. I'm going to close with this real quick. We were in the hospital. Jerry Butler had his gallbladder removed, so I went and spent some time with Jerry before. We had a lot of fun. Jerry and I are big Seinfeld fans, so we were quoting a lot of Seinfeld lines and laughing. I think the people were thinking, what in the world is going on in there? But anyway, so we got to talk to the nurse, and as Jerry would attest, it was a full-on assault on this nurse to get her to come to Covell. And I struck a chord because she's an 80s rock fan, so I think we have common ground there. So, but we'll see what happens. The goal is we're always, always shining that light. Doesn't matter where we're at, always shining that light. And if you say, that sounds difficult, I can promise you, on certain days, it is, because you may not feel like shining that light. It's our responsibility as Christians to do it. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for getting us here to this new year. Now you've put something before us. You've turned our light on. You've given us a sign that we are to be signs. And I pray today that we will accept this responsibility. We'll grow this church if we are brightly lit signs. We will change people at school and in our workplace if we're brightly lit signs. And I pray that in everything that we say or do, regardless of where we're at, that we'll reflect you and that people will see Jesus in us. And I ask this according to your will. Thank you for making all things clear and evident to us today. Thank you for your written word. Help us to live by it every day. And I pray today that you will help us to grow in our faith. Thank you for all that you've blessed us with. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.